to share with all of you some of our findings related to the risk and protective factors for depression, drug use, and HIV risk behavior among young men who have sex with men, or YMSM, from our Healthy Young Men study. As you may know, HIV rates among YMSM continue to rise, in particular among young men of color. It has been shown that drug use has a strong association with sexual risk-taking behavior that results in HIV transmission. Previous research has also found that experiences of harassment, violence, and victimization can lead to poor mental health outcomes, increased drug use, and other HIV risk-related behaviors among YMSM. Results from our own study and that of others also found that other stressful life events are related to increased risk for this population. Okay. The Healthy Young Men study is a 5-year longitudinal study funded by the National Institute on Drug Abuse. Headed by Michelle Kipke, it is designed to examine how individual, familial, social, and community characteristics influence HIV risk and protective behaviors. Our baseline and follow-up interviews were conducted every 6 months for 2 years. This is a mixed method study with both a strong quantitative and qualitative component. We are very fortunate to have active community participation in this study since its inception. Where are my bullets? Oh, there it is. Our baseline data collection began in February of 2005 and was completed over the course of 1 year. Using a venue-based stratified probability sampling design, we recruited 526 YMSM between the ages of 18 to 24 from Los Angeles County in settings such as gay bars, clubs, coffee houses, and other social settings. The study is stratified, is stratified by 3 racial ethnic groups, whites, African Americans, and Latinos of Mexican descent. Our survey took about an hour and a half to complete and was administered in both English and Spanish using audio computer-assisted interview technologies. And we're very happy to report that our current retention rate is at 92%, which we think is largely due to the efforts of our excellent field research team. So this next slide gives you a sense of where our eligible participants come from in the blue and where our actual cohort come from in the red. Is it coming? Where's the red? Oh, there they are. Oh. Sorry, technical. Anyways, as you can see, our study cohort pretty much overlap in terms of where they come from geographically with a larger group of individuals who are eligible to participate. Now, this next slide gives you a sense of who our young men are. Unfortunately, I don't have time to go over everything, but I do want to point out a few interesting facts about our sample. Although only 16% of our sample were born outside the U.S., if you take a look at our Mexican cohort, 30% of them were born outside of the country. In terms of residential status, we found a little over half of our sample still living with their families. Interesting enough, only 7% of the sample reported having ever been homeless, which, as you know, can be a huge risk factor for drug use. Well, finally, our data suggests that there seems to be great fluidity in our youth's sexual attraction and identity. While a majority, or 81% of our sample, identified as gay or other same-sex identity, and 16% considered themselves to be bisexual, we found that 27% of our sample reported on another question, being sexually attracted to both men and women. I think this data overall tells us that this is a diverse group of emerging young adults who certainly seem to be trying to figure out who they are sexually. Many of them are still in school and living with their families. But of course, many of them are definitely in transition to becoming adults. The next few slides relate to some of our recent findings with our baseline data. And one of the things we really want to be able to capture is how different risk and protective factors are associated with the co-occurrence of multiple risk behaviors. The idea being that psychosocial health problems like drug use and depression and HIV risk behaviors do not occur in isolation. So this slide gives you a sense of our key prevalence of our key predictors. As you can see, we have 23% of our sample who reported the experience of physical intimate partner violence. An astonishing 98% reported having experienced homophobia growing up. And this is referring to endorsing items such as, when I was growing up, people tell me that homosexuals will be alone when they grow old, that homosexuals are not normal. About 80% reported having been socially or sexually discriminated against based on race. And for example, being socially objectified because of their race, being felt to made uncomfortable in gay bars or other social spaces because of their race. 52% of our sample reported of what we call institutional racism, which included things like being harassed by police because of race, being treated rudely or unfairly because of race. In terms of stressful life events, our participants were given a list of possible 43 types of stressful life events to endorse. And the range of responses were from 0 to 26 with a mean of 8. And finally, we also looked at internalized homophobia based on a scale from 1 to 4, with 4 being associated with greater level of internalized homophobia. Because of the nature of these variables, we also tested to see if there were significant differences in these variables by race or ethnicity, and here's what we found. We found that our African-American YMSM cohort to be more likely to report the experience of social and sexual racism compared to whites. In addition, we found that our African-American cohort also experienced more likely to report institutional racism compared to whites. And of course, finally, there was significant difference in internalized homophobia as well. Now let's walk through our key outcome variables. There it is. Okay. 28% of our sample reported the recent use of illicit drugs, and when we say recent, we mean the last 3 months. 38% of our sample reported engaging in unprotected anal intercourse or UAI. 21% of our sample reported being depressed. That is measured with a CESD of a score of 22 or greater. And of course, we also examined to see if there are significant differences by race or ethnicity, and we found that whites, compared to our African-American cohort, were significantly more likely to use drugs. And in the next slide, I will be presenting to you results from our model using these variables. And I'm going to present this model sort of one piece at a time, but I just want to point out that this model was fitted in its entirety. There it is. And I also want to point out a few things, that the paths that are represented are those results that are significant at p less than or equal to 0.05, and the numbers next to the path represent standardized coefficients. And also, the models are controlled for ethnicity, age, residential status, and school enrollment. So, the first set of results show covariations between our main predictors of interest, which include a latent factor of racial victimization. As you can see, many, though not all of them, are significantly associated with each other. Now let's take a look at how they predict depression. We found that after simultaneously adjusting for the effects of all the other factors in the model, all of our main predictors were significantly associated with depression. And these coefficients are in the same directions, meaning the more likely you experience stress or internalized homophobia, the more likely you're depressed. And if you look at the coefficients, it looks like stress has the biggest negative impact. And it is not shown in the diagram, but school enrollment also has a significant protective effect on depression. In terms of drug use, we found that stress, gay-related harassment, and intimate partner violence to be related to drug use. And again, though not presented in the model because it's a control variable, residential status was also found to protect against drug use, meaning that YMSM who lived with their families were significantly less likely to use drugs. And finally, we found that there was a significant predictor for UAI, which is the experience of a greater number of stressful life events. We also modeled the covariations between drug use, depression, and UAI, and we found that drug use is significantly associated with UAI, and depression is nearly significantly associated with UAI. I realized that was a lot of information, so let me... Let me highlight some key findings for us, which are, well, first of all, that greater number of stressful life events predicted all three of our outcome variables of interest, which are depression, drug use, and sexual risk. Gay harassment when growing up and intimate partner violence and drug are significantly associated with drug use. All of our independent variables are associated with levels of depression. And I just want to quickly go over them. Okay. And the other points being that drug use and sexual risk were found to be significantly associated, which is consistent with the literature. Now, before diving into the conclusions and implications of these findings, I just want to point out a few limitations of the study, which is that the cross-sectional nature of these analyses, which prevents us from determining the temporal precedence of these events. This study also did not collect biological samples, which prevents us from verifying self-reported behaviors. And this sample is representative of only those who attended gay-identified venues. So what does this all mean? Okay, we think that our findings, in particular the one where stress is a consistent predictor of all three of our outcomes, suggests that additional research is needed to identify factors that could reduce the effects of stress on both depression and risk behaviors. Ooh. Next, the relatively high prevalence of harassment and victimization points to a great need for interventions to reduce YMSM's risk for these experiences. In particular, these efforts should include school-based or family-directed preventative interventions, which would be a good start, as we saw that school enrollment and living with families to have a protective effect for depression and drug use, respectively. And finally, our findings showing all of our independent variables related to homophobia, victimization, and violence relate to depression really highlight the importance of developing interventions and services that directly address the mental health needs of YMSM. So what's next for us? Next slide. Okay. We are continuing our longitudinal data collection through January of 2008, and this will be our Wave 5 collection. We will analyze our longitudinal data to see how some of these relationships change or remain the same over time. We also plan to triangulate our ethnographic and survey data that would allow us to give us a richer context for our findings. And finally, which I think is really key to doing this kind of research, which also happens to be a very exciting next step, is our dissemination work. Working with our community partners, we're devising a plan to share our findings with YMSM, service providers, and other policymakers, with the hope of delivering, you know, messages that are appropriate and effective for these different audiences. And with that, I conclude my presentation today. And please feel free to contact us if you have any questions.